about this. We know life's hard, and we know we have challenges, and sometimes we may think life's unfair. We may think, you know, I've done good, I've served God, why are things happening to me? I've been a good girl, good guy, good child, good adult, good parent, good mother, good father. Why are my kids the way they are? You know, why is my marriage the way it is? Why can't I keep a job? Why the, you know, all the excuses we can have that life seems to bring hardships. But we're going to talk about how encouraging life can be if we really know that life is a gift from God. I want to start out reading some facts for you, some stats that I found out about life. Now, all of us have something to complain about. There's no doubt about that. It's easy to find complaints. You know, me and Matt were talking the other day about something and how, you know, when you have an evaluation, what do y'all remember most about your evaluation? What stands out the most when you have an evaluation at work? Anybody? The negatives, right. The negatives. They can say, Pat is a great worker. Pat is a wonderful employee. Pat is always on time. Pat is caring, compassionate. Pat is very efficient in her job. But Pat takes a few minutes, too many coffee breaks. Pat, da-da-da. And then all Pat's going to remember is, I take what? But you got an exceeds. Yeah, but I, what? I don't care I got 50 strengths and one weakness. It's the one weakness I don't like. That's how we are as humans. And life, that's what we see. We're so blessed, but it's so easy for us to see what we don't have. Or what we need to have, or what we should have, or we're mad somebody else has it, and we don't. Listen to some of these stats I found out. There are 155,000 people in the world, on average, 155,000 people in the world, on average, that die every day. 155,000 people die every day. That translates into 4.6 million people a month. That die, that leave the earth, they die. 6,400 every hour. By the time this service is over today, almost 7,000 people will have died while we're sitting here. Translates into 108 people a minute. Every minute we sit here, 108 people gone. Every minute in the world. But we're here. And hopefully none of us will be part of that stat today. We are here. The only thing I want y'all dying of is laughter or emotion or whatever. There are 39 million people in the world that are blind. Are any of you in here blind this morning? But you got one eye good, right? You drove. That's, yeah. 39 million people. People are blind in the world. Another 70 million people are deaf in the world. 70 million people can't hear. They're not all men. We hear very well. We just filter out what's important and what's not. Isn't that right, Bill? We just filter out what's important. Thank you. So, yeah, that's right. 70 million people are deaf. Can you imagine? I want you to picture just the two stats we've read so far, blind and deaf. Can you imagine people that's never saw the ocean, never saw the mountains in the sky, don't know what the color green is, don't know what the color blue is. They've never saw. Their whole life has been in darkness, black, darkness, no images. You try to describe what red means. They don't know what red means. Never seen red. It's a red sunset. What's red? They don't know. Every one of us wake up seeing the beauty of creation, seeing the beauty of life. And yes, there's problems, but thank God at least I don't have that problem. And I can see the beauty of what God has done. Granted, my vision without corrective lenses is 20/250, but that's okay. They've got corrective lenses. Thank God for that. So I can see the birds in my yard. I can see the rabbits hopping through the field. I can see everything God's created. The beautiful moon and the sun and the sky at night. I can see those things. And I can hear those things. How tragic is it that people have never heard the laughter of their child or the cry of a child? They can't hear the sea roar. They can't hear the wind blow. They can't hear a train whistle on a dark night going through the train track. They can't hear. Church, we can see and we can hear and we're not dead. That's three things right there that we can be grateful for. There are 2.2 million people right now in the USA in prison. 2.2 million people are locked up behind bars. We are not. That is a blessing. For those who serve time, whose whole life's controlled by bars, that have no freedom, can't go where they want, can't do what they want, they're bound by that life. We are not, but we are free. There are 44 million people in the world who are currently diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. They don't have a sound mind. Dementia or Alzheimer's, 44 million people. Do you have a sound mind today? Some may argue that. Doc. But yes, we have a sound mind. I watched my grandma Lewis, my dad's mother, I watched her pass away at 79 years old with Alzheimer's. Didn't know who her family was. Didn't know who her children were. Had lost all understanding of who they were. Now her spirit may have felt something, but her mind couldn't process who they were. Saw her pass away of that. My grandpa, before he passed, was starting to get some dementia. He never got to where he didn't know us, but he was having some dementia. 44 million people have suffered for that. Aren't you glad your mind is sound? Aren't you glad you know who your wife and husband are? You know who your kids are. You know who your grandkids are. You know you can process things. You can function in life. You're not vacant upstairs, but God has given you a mind that still he keeps. That's one of the 44 million you're not this morning. 1.5 million people in the U.S. are homeless. 1.5 million people are homeless in this country. None of you, I don't believe, are homeless. If you were, y'all would have done hit me up. So I know you're not homeless. You have a place to go to. You might not like your home. The rent may be too high and the floors may be too rotted. The yard may be too big and the dog may be too small. I don't know. But you got a home. All of us have somewhere we can go back to, and we have shelter over our family. And don't take that for granted, church. That's a gift from God. Our home is supposed to be the safest place in the world for us to abide in. It's our safe place, our home. It's ours. It's our space. It's our family. It gives us security to know we have a place to go to function in our lives. We're not on the streets and we're not homeless. Now, I understand, church, that most homeless people have alcohol or drug or mental disorders. Majority of them. I know that. But for the grace of God, there go you. Alcohol, drug, or mental disorders. Nobody chooses to wake up and be homeless. But see, the grace of God has kept you from that road. And it wouldn't take very long for any of us to go homeless, really. You think about the steps that would have to happen. Many of us could be homeless pretty quick if it weren't for the blessing and hand of God in our lives. So don't take that for granted. There are 10 million people. Right now, once again, this is a lot by choice, but thank God that I have one, and most of you have one. 10 million people in America that are unemployed. 10 million people not working. I found out through my dad when he retired. Dad worked at the same place for 44 and a half years. Had one job his whole life. That's dedication right there, boy. That's commitment. We can't get folks to work 3 weeks anymore. 44 and a half years, Dad stayed at one place. Couldn't wait to retire, boy. He couldn't wait to retire. Retired a little early. Not real early, but retired, 62, retired. I'm going to retire at 62. I worked a whole life. I'm ready to retire. I ain't got to get up no more. I ain't got to be bound, no clock, no Fred Flintstone whistle. Woo! No more going off the dinosaur to work. Dad's going to live a good life. Man, he wasn't out of work 3 or 4 months. Guess what? I miss working. It's amazing how that happens, isn't it? You know why? Because we learn to realize that we are supposed to produce something. We're supposed to work. It gives us a purpose to have something to go to. Now, I understand if you're disabled and you can't work, that's different. But Dad was still healthy and still, for the most part, had a sound mind. And he wanted to work. So he's back working. Been working part-time for 5 or 6 years. He wasn't out in no time till you go back to work. See, a job is a blessing. A job is a gift from God. It's part of our life. It's part of our function. Man was meant to work, and man, talking about mankind, women too, but mankind was supposed to have a purpose. It gives us a way to function. It gives us something to do with the life and the time God gave us. So here we see some gifts of God that all of us can share this morning. For the most part, we have our health. I know we got aches and pains, and we got some cringes here and there. You may have some back problems, some hip problems, some joint problems, some knee problems. But all of us walked in here this morning. All of us have our eyes open and see. All of us can hear. All of us have a sound mind. The ones of us that want to work are working. All of you have a home, and none of you are in prison right now because you're here, unless you're out on parole. So be careful. We are blessed. Life is good. There are people that struggle to eat every day. There are countries that have no clean water. They have no medical care. There are people that are going through relationship problems that are abusive and domestic violence situations where women are afraid to go home to their husband or their boyfriend. And they're getting beat. That is happening all over the country, all over the world. Spousal abuse. Life is good. Life is wonderful. And we are here because God wants us here. We are alive because God's keeping us alive. And we're still alive because there's still a purpose in our lives. And we may not know what that purpose is right now, but you know what? Every single day, every season of our lives, we are continually evolving and learning what life's all about and what our next step is. And we have a purpose. You know, yesterday, I had some guys come over and start on the playground back there. They got a little bit of it started, but the hard part's getting it started. Next week, they should hopefully roll and maybe finish it up, we hope. But we had guys over here working on the playground. And guess what? They were all of the older generation. Oh, except Trey. That's right. We had Trey help out. Excuse me. Trey was a youngin'. He did help out. But here we got guys that are older. Two of them over 60. One of them about 50. And then a teenager. And here, the reason I'm saying that is, you know what? Instead of sitting back in a rocking chair saying, you know what? Let the youngins do it. They stepped up. Says, I'll be a part of it. I'm going to do it. We have a prime timers group, 55 or older. Mom and Anna lead that. They go out and do things. They're a functioning body of ministry that has a purpose in that season of their lives. We can find the good in life, and we can find the bad in life. We can complain, and we can grumble, or we can embrace what God has given us. It's our choice. And if you want to stay miserable, there's plenty of people to keep you company. And misery comes easy because it is so easy to find the negative. We want to nag and complain about everything. I mean, gas has dropped to $1.90-something around here, and some of y'all are still saying, I remember this 15 cents. It ain't going back to 15 cents, okay? So be happy it's $1.97. Because it was $4 a gallon back about 8 years ago, if you remember. $4 a gallon. Cost me $70 to fill my car up back then. I remember $70 it would cost to fill my car up when it was $4 a gallon. So we can complain, we can grumble, or we can embrace the goodness of what God has given us. You may be in some pain, but you're not in prison. You may be a little sick, but you're not homeless. You may have some problems, but you're not completely overcome. Life is good. Let's read what Solomon says about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything there is a season. Who are these seasons ordained by? By God. These seasons are controlled by the hand of God. Just the seasons of spring, fall, summer, winter, they all evolve in this area of the country. Some Florida don't have that, but in our area we have four seasons. And as those seasons evolve, they are under the control of God completely. The leaves change when God tells them to start changing. And the grass begins to get green when God begins to make it green. And the winter comes and the cold air blows in, the snow falls when God tells it to. To everything, there is a season of our lives. Yes, we have better seasons than others. I realize that. You know, I look back at times in my life that were great. But I'm not going to miss out on what God's got waiting on me in the future because I'm too hung up on what I lost in the past. We got to be careful about that. Yes, there were good old days, O-L-E, good old days back then. But man, there's some good days yet to come. There's some beauty yet to be seen. There's some life yet to be lived. And if we stay paralyzed in what we don't have or what we used to have, instead of embracing what we do have and what God wants us to have, we are going to miss the boat on enjoying the purpose of life. There's something about living life with joy that we don't let every single thing tear us down. We are blessed, church. We are blessed above measure. We are blessed by His grace and we are blessed by His mercy. We are blessed because He keeps us and His presence is with us. And in our weakness, He's our strength. In our darkness, He's our light. When we're hungry, He's our bread. And when we're thirsty, He's our living water. In the storm, He still controls it, and He's still there. When the thunder and lightning is striking, He's the same God that He is when the sun is out and all is calm. He's not changed. Let's enjoy the storms like we do the good times, because even in storms, there is beauty. In storms, there is something we can learn and something we can understand and something we can grab hold to that God is showing us and teaching us and helping us. It's all about perspective. And here's the greater thing. If we're a Christian, we're saved, we know we're God's child, we know what our future is. All this is temporary to begin with. So if I know my past is forgiven and I know that my future is sealed, then why can't I trust Him in my present? Why can't I live every day realizing I am forgiven from my past, I'm secure in my future, so I'm going to live every day to the fullest and enjoy life. And if other people want to be miserable and down and out and complaining about the government, complaining about the president, complaining about the taxes, is all part of life. And there's not a whole lot we can do to change a whole lot of that. So I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on the gift of life He's given me and be responsible for what I can be responsible for. In church, I'm going to not let other people take my happiness away. It's no fun to live miserable. It's no fun to live depressed and discouraged every day of your life. Joy cometh in the morning, the Bible says. Joy. God wants us to walk in His joy. And the joy He's talking about is not attached to the blessings of our natural life. It's attached to who He is inside of us. See, we base joy on our jobs, which is a blessing. Or joy on the car we drive, which is a blessing. Or joy in the house we live in. But if our joy is only attached to those tangible things, then we don't have a whole lot because those tangible things can be gone pretty quickly. And then what are we left with? We're empty. But if our joy is in the Lord, I will praise the Lord through the good, through the bad. My joy is in Him. My joy is in the risen King. My joy is in the future of the resurrection that all of us will be a part of. My joy is in His millennial kingdom that I will be forevermore alive and healed and well and set free and redeemed forevermore. The redemption of my body I will have in Christ. Then all of a sudden we can live life with a lot more joy because we know where our future holds. Every season there's a purpose. Now here, verses 2 through 8, Solomon kind of, and Solomon did write this. This, of course, was King Solomon, David's son. And if anybody could write anything, it'd be Solomon, because he had more wealth than anybody known, more power, more prestige. I mean, queens and kings from other countries would come visit Solomon just to see if he really had what they heard he had. Queen Sheba made a visit to Solomon and was amazed at what all that he had. Palaces and gold and silver and cattle and kingdom it was a Biltmore house of the ages. And he had that. But yet Solomon, at the end of his life, as he's writing this, begins to realize, you know what, I've done all of this stuff, but what happens when I'm gone? What profit has it really produced? And Solomon's eyes were on an eternal perspective, that we go through life, but this isn't where it stops, that there's an eternal purpose for us. Eternal. It doesn't stop when we're in a graveyard. It doesn't stop when our tombstone date's been etched out. Our life is eternal. Our purpose is eternal. And as children of God, our perspective must be eternal. That we don't look the next 50, 60 years, but man, we're looking into eternity. I'm going to live forever. That should be our perspective. So he goes to give all these comparisons, and all this is, he's trying to cover every possible plight, every possible moment
that mankind has under the sun. He says, a time to be born, there's a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which has been planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Then he says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Solomon began to see that all of these things, good and the bad, are temporary. This is why when people contemplate suicide or they go through a suicide, if they could just hang on a little bit longer, their season will change. What they're so tormented by will give way at some point to a greater peace. Because their storm, every storm, is temporary. Every storm is temporary. Even if your sickness doesn't go away, it can be temporary because where you were versus where you are now, God's brought you out of some of that. And so you're in a different place than you were before. Everything is temporary. Solomon's saying that. I've done all this work. I've built all this palace. I've done all this stuff. I've achieved all these goals. And here I am at the end of my life. And it's all going to be out of my hands. So what have I really accomplished? He accomplished a lot. He left a heritage behind. Verse 10, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And he hath made everything, God has made everything beautiful in his time. Think about this. God has made everything. We can see beauty. Think about, let's use an example that we all can relate to. The caterpillar. The good old caterpillar. Most of us don't think a caterpillar is very pretty. It's not an animal that we would put on a red carpet rug with the gold globe and flash and say, here's the prettiest animal in the world. It's a caterpillar, a fuzzy, little wormy caterpillar. But we know what that caterpillar turns into. That caterpillar, did I say that right? Sounds weird. That worm, it has a greater purpose. And it's crawling on the ground, and it's, you know, not much to look at, and you hope you don't step on it, and you don't really give it a second look, unless you're a six-year-old boy and you love it because you get it and put it on your finger and look. But other than that, you don't care about it. You know, most girls, you know, whatever. You don't pay attention to it. But then it goes into a hibernation period and goes into a cocoon period. Then after that cocoon, it comes out. The worm's still there, right? But all of a sudden, the worm's pretty. The worm grew wings. The worm grew color. And all of a sudden now you see the butterfly that came from the worm. That's how God sees us. That's how we should see life. Life has a lot of worms. I get that. But those worms are still beautiful in their own right. And we can still see the beauty in everything if we see God in everything. He's the creator. And he makes everything beautiful. The greatest time we seek God, I say this all the time, it's the truth. Church, it's just, it is what it is. It is the truth. The greatest time we truly seem to seek God is when we're in a bad place. We're low, we're lonely, we're afraid, we're discouraged, we're sick, we're overcome with stress. That's when we seem to turn to God the most. And that's okay, and that's part of God's plan. It's in those low moments that don't look so beautiful that we really discover the beauty that's in our Creator, a God that hears us, a God that sees us, and a God that heals us. It's in those moments He raises us up from the ashes and makes us beautiful again, and we look in the mirror and we say, yes, I am an overcomer, and yes, I do have the victory. Those storms produce something beautiful in every season of life. And I know we don't like going through them. But through every season, there is a purpose. And in everything, God makes it beautiful. Then he goes on to say, he hath also set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We don't know eternity like God knows it. We don't know what the end really looks like, but he does. And the beautiful thing is, God's already prepared that end for you. It's a done deal. It's prepared, church. And I know that the finish line is waiting on all of us, and each of us that cross that finish line will receive the fullness of what God has done that we can't yet see. But we will walk into it, and we will achieve it. And when we know we have life after this, then life here is pretty doggone good. Because we know that nothing can stop us from seeing the face of God. We know the devil can roar and rant and blow his breath on us and growl like a lion, like the Bible says. But we know he cannot destroy us because the seed of God that's been planted in us, 1 John tells us this, remaineth in us. That seed of God remains in us. Remains through the good, through the bad, through the drought, through the rainy season, it remains. And so the devil can snort all he wants, but when we realize he can't take what God has given us, we can enjoy life again. There's such a spirit of oppression in this generation, such a heaviness, and I feel it. I've raised kids, I've still got one at home, and I can feel in this, especially this, with all generations, but I see such a heaviness in the generation coming up, a heaviness, a discouragement. Don't live that way. Man, I remember back in my young days, man, I had fun. I enjoyed life. I was happy, and I couldn't wait to grow up and couldn't wait to be my own man and couldn't wait to get out of my mama's house. No offense. I was ready. I was independent. I was grown. I was a man, and I was ready to be a man. And now a lot of people are scared to be a man. They're scared to grow up. Enjoy life. Embrace life. There's so much beauty in every day that we can live. And this heavy garment of discouragement and oppression upon people's lives can be lifted off if they can see through that and see the hand of God and see the face of God and realize I am for you and I am there for you. And when you're most desperate, when you're most discouraged, I am still there, and I'm going to bring you out. I'm not going to leave you where you're at. Just like we read Wednesday night about the stormy sea and about Peter walking on the water and how that Jesus came to him, and Peter walked on, and he got scared, and he sank. Why are you afraid? Why'd you doubt? You see me. I was here. I was here in the storm. The seas were rocky. So what? Man, Jesus, the wind was blowing. Man, you don't know. I do know. I was out here with you. I'm in control of that. The sea and the storm was under the authority of God. Every situation, every season is under the authority of God. So I embrace it, I trust it, and I live. Church, I live every day. I know there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. Rejoice. If we could have the same joy in God that we do in the things of the world that pass away. How many of you have ever been to a rock or a country concert in your life? Rock concert, country concert, something live. Are y'all standing there doing this? Oh, no. Y'all getting jiggy with it. Uh-huh. You're clapping, you're hollering, and they'll say, put your hands in the air. And wave them like you just don't care. You know, everybody starts doing this. And you don't even know why you're waving, but everybody else is doing it. And you're into it, and everybody's screaming. They walk out on stage, oh, and they're melting away, and they're fainting, and they're passing out, and they're getting trampled over, and they're throwing their garments up to stage, and, oh, have my baby. Just going ballistic. Crazy. They're so joyful about where they're at. They're so enthused about where they're at. We can walk in that same joy of the Lord knowing every day you wake up, guess what? You are redeemed. You are redeemed, church, by the blood of Jesus. Every day you wake up, you are a child of a living, holy God. Every single day you wake up, your DNA screams, I belong to Him and He is mine. He is my Father and I am His child. Every day I belong to the King. Man, that's how we live life. Knowing I belong to the King. I can enjoy life. Church, we can blame other people for our problems, but man, I wouldn't want to trade places with half of them. So what? Someone makes more money than you. You're making it. So what? Someone's got more hair than you. Excuse me, that was a personal one. So what? Someone has this and you don't have it. It's okay. I was talking to one guy the other day. We was out, and he had less hair than me. We was talking, and now, you know, I was talking about, we was talking, made a joke or something. He goes, brother, I'd love to have what you got. Well, all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah. I felt good. I don't get that very much. I wish I had as much as you have. I hardly ever get that. So it made me feel good. I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm not Kojak. Not ever. I'm not Kojak. I still got some up there. There's still some fire on the stove, buddy. I'm going to tell you that. And I'm happy about that. So, yes, my goal growing up, I was going to be 6 foot two. I don't know why. 6 foot two is all I want to be. I thought that was the perfect height for a guy, 6'2". Not too tall, not too short. 6'2 is like the perfect height. Well, I didn't make it. But you know what? At least I ain't 5 foot three. Hallelujah. Do what? Oh, yeah, I was, wasn't I? So there's always something we can, you know, thank God for. You know, you might not like your nose, but at least you don't have your sister's nose. You know what I'm saying? It could be worse. So in reality of life, appreciate the goodness of God and realize someone else would trade places with you in a heartbeat if they could. So many people. You know, me and Mel have been married 25 years. There have been a lot of good times and been three bad times per week. And through those 25 years, through those 25 years of marriage, there's been ups and downs. But you know what? I wouldn't trade what I've got, what I've had, and what I'm going to have for anything else in the world. And I'm, what are you laughing, Ashley? I'm serious. I really wouldn't. Me and Mel don't have a perfect marriage. I'm not a perfect husband by far, and I realize that. But 25 years, I know what I've got. And she knows what she has. I hope she does. I hope she appreciates what she really has. Because this just ain't everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And so for 25 years, I've had this marriage. And some folks be like, man, I wish I had a relationship like you and Melanie. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. And most days there's more good than bad, for sure. And so I appreciate that. I can look at just the negative stuff all the time. Oh, my Lord, you know, why is she nagging me? Why is she doing this? You know, da-da. I can look at the negative things. And she could, too. But I don't think Melanie would trade me in for anybody else right now. Okay, we'll talk about that. I ain't worried about that. Life is good. Next verse. Every man should eat and drink. Look at this. Every man should eat and drink. We're not talking about going out and getting drunk now, okay? Don't worry, just read that. We should eat and we should drink, and we should enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Church, our labor is a gift from God. You know how many folks that would desire to work that can't work? They physically or mentally can't work, but would love to have a job to go to every day. And we take it for granted. We just complain about it. Oh, I can't, you know, we count it down. 10 more years, I'm out. 8 more years, I'm out. 5 more years, I'm out. 3 more years, I'm out. The old saying, you stop using it, you lose it. if there's any way we still have a desire to do anything, we should be doing that. We should be doing that. There's nothing more rewarding. You know, Ashley got her first part-time job. I'm so proud of her. She's 14 years old and got a part-time job. And she got her first little paycheck last week. And I'm like, you know what that does for her? I worked for this. I earned this. There's a purpose for what I did last week. And I'm seeing the reward of that purpose. Our work, our jobs, our functioning in life is a gift from God. If we are able to walk up a flight of stairs, praise God, that's a blessing. Some can't do that. Something as simple as going up a flight of stairs is a challenge for many people. And if you can still do it, you ought to be skipping up them stairs saying, hallelujah, I can still do it. I'm not going to look at them stairs and say, oh Lord, 12 stairs, I'll try to do it. If you can do it, man, and do it. Enjoy it. It's a blessing. Many would desire to walk that way. We should enjoy our labor. It's a gift to God. Then verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Every season God has for us is ordained by Him. And what God has established for us is forever. It's not going to pass away. God has a future for all of us that has already been ordained by the cross. He has spilled His blood to secure it. And we have a future that we're going to walk into. And all the will of the enemy can't cancel out the ordination of God. He has established it, and it is forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor nothing can take from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. What Solomon is saying is we should understand that time is in the hands of God. Seasons are in the hands of God. Purpose is in the hands of God. Provision, protection, healing, deliverance, all of that is in the hands of God. So we fear that. We fear in a sense of reverent awe and worship and honor the sovereignty of God. That we recognize it's because of You, Lord, I have life. It's because of You, I have health. It's because of You, I have a house. Because of You, I've got a job. Because of You, I've got provision. And I'm going to start enjoying life. We're missing out on so many things because all we see is the negative. Church, there ain't never enough money to do what we want to do. Our appetite's too big. If you always say, I wish I had more money, it wouldn't be enough. Our appetite's too big. You think if y'all got $1 million check in the mail tomorrow, y'all have $1 million 5 years from now? Heck to the no. Appetite's big. Go get me a Corvette. I'll get me 3 Corvettes. I'm going to buy me a lake house and a lake. And you know what? Before long, you ain't got no money. You go from eating on the Big Mac menu to Ruth Chris menu. And all of a sudden, that money's gone. Because our appetite grows with what we have. And so, you may not have all that you want. But God meets your needs. And you've got enough. Church, you really do. We all are blessed with enough. God takes care of us. God provides for us. God meets our needs. I took a picture this morning. You probably seen it on Facebook. I took a picture of the church this morning. It's a beautiful morning. I was out here. I took a picture of the front and the new building, the cemetery, the backyard, and just put it on Facebook. Look at our beautiful church. God's been so good to us. I look at this property and what God has done. And we're not a huge church, and we're not a cathedral-sized church, and we don't have multiple campuses across the county, you know, and we don't have a whole bunch of programs, and we don't have bumper stickers on the back of our cars. But I am grateful and blessed of what God has done here. And I look at the people and I look at the years of progress and I look at where we came from to where we are today and I see the hand of God. I mean, 15 years is still a very young ministry. 15 years. When you got churches that are celebrating 100 years, 150 years, 75 years, 15 years, and God has done this. And He's done this with no organization. I mean, He's done this with no... He's just done it. And I'm just amazed what He's done here. And so I had to fight this myself. You know, I look at life and I'm like, man, you know, here's the deal. My Jeep went out, right? I told you about that. My Jeep blew a head gasket. And down in Charlotte, the worst part I could possibly be in. I couldn't even get over four lanes of traffic. It starts, smoke starts boiling out like, you know, a witch doctor. Like, man, could not get over. Finally got pulled off way up on Sunset exit. And how do you get me a car? And I got me a car, and God blessed me the car, and I like my car. But you know what? It's not a new car. That car I bought's a 2005. It's 12 years old. And I'm like, you know, I've never had a brand new car ever in my life. I've never, the newest car I've ever had, I think, was 3 years old. I've never had a brand new car. And you know what? I'm like, you know, gosh, it'd be nice to really have something nice and da-da-da. And all the church folks drive new cars, and man, they got new cars. And how they do that, man, because I can't get no new car. And I could get my 05, 12 years old, 160,000 miles on it. That's what I had to get because that's what the budget I needed to be at. But you know what, church? I'm thankful I got that car, and I'm blessed I got that car, and it gets me where I need to go, and it's a decent-looking car, and it's a nice-looking car, and it performs the function that I need. So instead of me saying, man, I wish I could have a new car, you know, like so-and-so, or man, I wish I could have a red convertible Mustang. Oh, I did have one, but it wasn't mine. But anyway, I wish I could have that, but you know what? I'm grateful that I got what I got. And if we could learn to enjoy the things God's given us and see the beauty in what he's given us. Because, see, I'm not in debt $15,000 or $20,000 either for that car. And so that's the beauty in that. And so there's beauty in everything that we see if we look at it through the eyes of God. He met a need for me. He put on my heart where to go get that car, actually. He brought the place to my mind to go check. And the place he told me I felt led to go check, they had what I needed, and I got it right there. And God opened that door for me. And I'm blessed. Church, let's enjoy life. Let's enjoy living again. I mean, man, can I be honest with you? I hate to do this. I haven't hit the offering up yet. But let me just say this. Nobody really wants to hear all your complaining anyway. They don't want to hear it. When I say, how you doing, brother? And you tell them, they're like, OMG, why did I ask? Because I really don't care what you're going through. I'm just being friendly. I know that sounds cold now. Church, I care. I'm your pastor, and I loved you. So I care. But all y'all don't. So that's what I'm saying. So Bruce is whining to Doc about something. Doc's like, bro, man, I'm going to go to lunch, man. I'm hungry. I really don't care. Can you hurry this up, man? I got to take my insulin. Come on. I mean, it's all, you know, that's just how it is. And so we spend so much energy complaining and whining and grumbling. God's been so good to us. And if we could see the beauty in the goodness of God and not what we don't have, thank God for what we do have, we would live life with much more joy, much more peace, and much more happiness. I'm not discounting the storms we go through, and I'm not downgrading people that we've lost and things in our life that's happened. I know going through divorce is tragic. Losing a child or a spouse is tragic. You know, battling cancer is tragic. Those are things that are tragic. Losing a job can be tragic. I'm not discounting any of those. I'm just saying that even in those tragic moments, you still got other pieces in your life that are very much a blessing. You've got your children that are still with you if you lose a spouse. You know, if you lose a job, you still hopefully have a home. You still are eating. There's things we can look at. God, you're still making a way, and you're still providing, and you're still blessing. I'm not in a hospital. You know, I know many of you go have pain every day. Many of you have been diagnosed with chronic illnesses and things that only by the hand of God you can be healed of. But yet you're here, and yet you're functioning. And day by day, God's giving you that strength. Looking to him, that's where your help comes from. Life is a gift. And one day, church, let the Lord changes us. One day, each of us will be one of these stats. And while you're not a stat, enjoy life. While you're able, enjoy it. I tell people this that are older than me because this is my goal. Well, I'm just going to tell you, this is my dream, my goal. If you're not tied down to work and you're able to get out and travel, y'all need to do that while you can. Don't say, well, I don't like going from home. Man, see the world God made. Man, if I wasn't bound, I'd be in a car. I love travel. Man, I go try to find places to find. Does that make any sense? I go try to find places to find. I love, I mean, man, you don't think I'd be out the Caribbean drinking my coconut juice? Heck yeah. Traveling the world, I love to. Go out west and see the Grand Canyon, go to Alaska, go to Hawaii, meet Magnum P.I. I would love to do some of those things. I don't know, maybe. If I can sit in my car while I'm on a ship. I would love to do those things. So, man, if you're able to go, don't put it off. Well, I'll try to do something maybe next year. Do it. You never know when your life's going to change. So embrace it and enjoy it while you can. Take the pictures while you can. Love on your wife and your children while you can. Because you never know when life's going to take a different turn. But even if it does, there's still goodness in all of that. Because every season bursts something beautiful. It truly does. So embrace it, hold on to it, and start living life again and seeing how good God really is. Begin to write down your blessings. I read stats this morning. None of y'all are in these stats. None of you are dead. Everybody alive, right? That'd be terrible for business. Somebody croak wine. Please don't do that. Terrible for business. You're not dead. You're not in prison. You're not blind. You're not deaf. You're not homeless. And millions of people are. And you don't have Alzheimer's. You got a sound mind. A sound mind. Thank God for that. Come on up, Marjorie, if you would play us something. If you would, I'd like for you to stand with me this morning. And I just want to pray a prayer over the congregation this morning, a prayer that God will lift off your heaviness this morning and that God will put into your heart a new vision of joy of who He is. Father, I pray right now for the heaviness, the heavy garment of oppression, for all the storms that have gotten us so far down, God, that we have lost our way a little bit. We've lost our joy. We've lost our peace. That all we can see right now is the storm. All we can see is the bad. All we can see is, when's it all going to be over? God, I pray you take the scales off of our eyes, that we see clearly the beauty that's in you. That in every season, no matter how bad it seems, God Almighty, you are in that season. Your love and your mercy have not forsaken us. Your hand of healing has not forgotten us. Your ear has not turned deaf to us, and your eyes have not stopped watching us. And I pray for joy in the storm. I pray for light to shine in our darkness. And I pray that our perspective will be changed today, that we'll walk out of here again enjoying every breath that we have, realizing I'm not going to let no one else pull me down. I'm not going to let no other voice that lies to me discourage me. I'm not going to be influenced by the mood of others or by the world. But I'm going to focus on my King, on my Lord, on my Creator, on the risen one who is forever, who was, who is, and who forever will be. I pray, Father, our eyes are open to see you in all of your beauty. Let joy fill our hearts. Let peace fill our minds. And I pray, God, you encourage us to walk out of here with a new way of living, using every moment for your purpose, serving you, knowing every breath is a gift, and that we are to use that gift, God, to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, lift the garment of oppression and fill us with your praise. And we give you praise. Amen and amen.